Well, it really is a pleasure to have you with us this morning for our Sunday Pentecost service. It's great to have you here. Yeah, of course, it's very different to normal. I'm used to it's being a kind of pretty huge event in the church here with lots of loud music and people dressed in red jumpers and goodness knows what else. But, you know, it's a more reflective service, and that's fine because there's something to be had in that as well. So, yes, thank you for joining me. I'm Steve Morris. I'm the vicar at St Cuthbert's, North Wembley. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So, we begin by bringing to God anything we'd like to say sorry for, and we do that in the sure and certain knowledge that God promises to forgive and to forget. So, I encourage you now, bring to God anything you'd like to say sorry for, and let's do that. We'll do that together. As we wait in silence, fill us with your Spirit. As we listen to your word, fill us with your Spirit. As we worship you in majesty, fill us with your Spirit. As we long for your refreshing, fill us with your Spirit. As we long for your renewing, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit. My dear Lord, forgive us these sins that we have brought to you. Allow us to live the rest of our life free from them and following you in the sure and certain knowledge of your glorious grace. Amen. So, friends, we move on to our readings. And here they are. The first one is from, I'm going to read them in just a bit the wrong order, as it usually is. We usually read the gospel reading last, but I'm going to read the gospel reading first. It's John's gospel. It's chapter 15, verses 26 to 27. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And now I'm going to read the reading from the book of Acts, which is the one, of course, that we always read at this time, because it explains just what happened on the day of Pentecost. So the reading is Acts 2, and then it's 1 to 21. Acts 2. 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then, how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, What does this mean? Some of them, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowds. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's, you know, it's a very challenging, isn't it? A very wonderful Bible. But I wonder whether I might just begin my kind of thoughts about it on the short reading from John 15, which was John 15, if you remember, 26 to 27. And this is what it said. When the counselor comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you must also testify, for you've been with me from the beginning. It's an interesting way, isn't it, of thinking about the Holy Spirit, the counselor. And I think that's really about kind of wisdom, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Now, you see, I just wrestle with certain things, and that's just me, you know. I kind of find it hard when you see some very extravagant scenes in some church settings of people maybe barking or whatever they might do, you know. That's fine. I'm not denigrating them. But it doesn't seem to me that that is exactly what is described here. What's described here and in the gospel is the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And goodness me, is that not something that we particularly need, have always needed? Let's just work our way through the story of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. Of course, you've got a bunch of very frightened people who don't really know what to happen. But my guess is that they're fearing the worst. They know they've lost their friend and their leader. You know, and they're just not sure what's going to happen next. I guess they probably worried about more about the Jewish authorities than the Roman ones. But, you know, difficult to know. And then something happens, and it's a kind of very, very outwardly obvious expression of God. And we need to ask what it might mean, because in the outwardly expression of God, people are speaking. They're speaking, and it may be just like sounds, speaking in tongues, and yet people hear it absolutely in their own language. Now, that's a thing to remember, that when this happens, it wasn't just a series of sounds. It was actually actual language that people heard. And it's a kind of miracle, because it says something that everyone, from whatever background you are, can hear the word of God and be touched by God. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter where you come from. But the truth of it is that you will hear the word if your ears are open to listen. Of course, the passers-by are just amazed. They're also, we're told, perplexed. What does it mean, they say? That's a pretty good question. It's a question maybe many of us have asked. What does it mean? Some of them make fun, saying, oh, they've been drinking. Which, again, I think this is why I trust it. It sounds like a really genuine first-hand account, because you wouldn't put that in. You wouldn't make that up, would you, that people said that? It sounds as if it's really true. And I think then we begin to see this idea of the spirit of wisdom, which is, I think, what I really want to concentrate on today, rather than the extreme manifestations that we often concentrate on. Or what you might call spiritual thrill-seeking, you know, trying to get an experience like this. The counsellor brings wisdom, okay? And this, let's see how it works with Peter. Peter stands up. He is, as far as we can tell, extremely and totally calm. Not only that, this humble fisherman, without a great education, is given the kind of words that he needs to change the lives of those people in front of him. It is an extraordinary transformation. I mean, we know about Peter that he's a people pleaser. We know he's a bit hot-headed and he has a way of opening mouth and inserting foot. We know these things. But here, what happens is, calmly, beautifully, almost surgically, he explains to help people understand when they ask, what does this mean? He does it in the cultural context as well that is completely appropriate. He says this, listen, all of you who live in Jerusalem, I'm going to explain this to you, but listen carefully to what I have to say. And he picks up the first objection. These people aren't drunk. That's important to get that out there, because that kind of niggardly stuff can really kind of get under people's skin. He says this, listen, I'm going to explain it to you because I can show you in our scriptures that this is what it means. He goes back to the prophet Joel. That's what he needs to do to give proper weight to this event. It is not, he's saying, just some random act of people acting strangely. It's not a mass psychological blip. It comes calmly through the ages, and we knew this was going to happen because we read our Bible. And what he says is that in this time, and of course at this point, Peter thought that Jesus was coming back very, very soon. And that was one of the things the church had to contend with, because he didn't. He said it's towards the end of time, last days, he said, the Spirit has been poured out on all people. And he says the prophecy says that young people, sons and daughters, will see visions, and the old people will have dreams and they'll dream them. And that there'll be this new sense of possibility and hope. A new sense of connectivity between the future, the past and the present. That's the important thing. Because the prophecy gives you the backing of the past. The present is what's happening. And he says, look what is going to happen. Older people will dream dreams. He says that people are going to experience the wonders in the heavens above, he says. And I think it's a really beautiful, extremely clever way of dealing with objections and saying something about what this, we are in a new age, you know, Jesus has been, we are in a new time, and what does it look like? Now, he is talking, I just say this, about the very end times as well here, and it's very, very important. He talks about signs and wonders at the end time. You know, we mustn't rush too quickly. We just mustn't, you know. He's very calm and he's very measured. And what he says is that there will be a time of total turbulence when people will call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. I like this reading because it seems to me that if we read it very carefully, we get a bit of a new perspective on what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. A friend of mine used to always say this, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman, he used to say. And I like that. You know, that the Spirit doesn't force himself on you. The Spirit is gentle and kind, the great extraordinary counselor who will lead you and lead us into the path of wisdom. And I think that's something that really is worth praying for. Amen. So friends, let's now pause and we will, it's lovely by the way, thank you for being with us. I just say that again, it's good to have you here. And let's now celebrate the peace. God has made us one in Christ, set his seal upon us, and as a pledge of what is to come, has given the Spirit to dwell in our hearts. The peace of the Lord be always with you. So let's show one another a sign of peace. Peace be with you, friends. Thank you so much. I do hope that you are feeling at peace with God this morning. And of course, this now says that we're at peace with each other. Always a good time to make up and to make good. Would you join me in the Eucharistic prayer? The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord. This day we give you thanks because in the fulfillment of your promise, you pour out your Spirit upon us, filling us with your gifts, leading us into all truths, and uniting people of many tongues in the confession of one faith. Your Spirit gives us grace to call you Father, to proclaim your gospel to all the nation, and to serve you as a royal priesthood. So, we join our voices with angels and archangels, and with all those in whom the Spirit dwells, to proclaim the glory of your name forever, praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let us say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, the broken bread and wine outpoured, may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine, again he praised you, gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence, his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation. We proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. I now will take the communion. So we pray. Almighty God, thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And so we finish this service with a commission, with a task which we're all given. And I'll read both parts of it, and I'll just tell you when we get to the response part and what to say. I think it's very strong. So, for 50 days, we have celebrated the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ over the powers of sin and death. We have proclaimed God's mighty acts, and we have prayed that the power that was at work when Jesus was raised from the dead might be at work in us. As part of God's church, I call upon you to live out what you proclaim. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, will you dare to walk into God's future, trusting Him to be your guide? And what we say at the end of each of these statements is, we will. So, will you dare to walk into God's future, trusting Him to be your guide? We will. Will you dare to embrace each other and grow together in love? We will. Will you dare to share your riches in common and minister to each other in need? We will. Will you dare to pray for each other until your hearts beat with the longings of God? We will. And will you dare to carry the light of Christ into the world's dark places? We will. So may the Spirit who hovered over the waters when the world was created breathe into you the life He gives. Amen. May the Spirit who overshadowed the Virgin when the Eternal Son came among us make you joyful in the service of the Lord. Amen. May the Spirit who set the church on fire upon the day of Pentecost bring the world alive with the love of the risen Christ. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. And so, friends, filled with the Spirit's power, go in the light and peace of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.